Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money. I have not been with you on an episode with you for a while. That was pretty stellar.
Well, to be clear, that was the first time I've done that.
Really?
Well, was it you and Quint? Yeah, because it was about me and Logan. You and Quint were saying that Logan and I need to have our own intros, outros, mid-tros.
I don't know. It's very complicated. Anyhow, I liked it.
Thank
Keep
you.
That up.
I thought it was great.
I don't remember what I did, so now I have to remember for next time.
Yeah. We are cruising into spring. Are you getting out and doing more hiking and climbing? You said you don't really climb
outside.
In nature. You climb in a gym.
Well, I do if I can. It's just hard to... Well, for one, you have to have the gear, which mm-hmm. I don't. And the gear is also like $1 trillion. So it might be a while before I can afford that. But it's also just an ordeal. Like, it's like a full day, haul everything out to the gorge, and then set up. I don't know. It's a lot to plan for.
Yeah, that's really tough when you got kids at home to worry about and pets and all that.
Yeah, exactly. You get it. But I
so many
have been hiking some, except not the last like 2 weekends, because all of a sudden it's like 12 degrees.
Yep.
By that, I mean, what was it, 25 this morning?
But this is coming into the perfect season for all of your outdoor shenanigans, right?
No.
Or do you enjoy the summer when it's brutally hot?
This is going to sound weird. I want to be, like, sweating while I hike, like, high-key sweating, because I don't know what it is about sweat. It makes me feel like I'm doing more. I know that's not how it works, but it feels more productive, because when I'm done, I'm, like, drenched in sweat, and I just want to drink a margarita and...
This sounds terrible. I want to move to Canada
get in a
for
pool.
June through August or September.
So your ideal hiking is, what, like, 60?
Yes.
That's not bad. Like, to be clear,
to
I have been enjoying
weather.
My hikes when it's like 55, 60, but I don't want to wear long sleeves. So maybe like the middle ground is like 70, where you can wear like a t-shirt, but you're not going to like sweat through it.
If it's not hoodie weather, I don't like it. Sweater weather.
I don't get that.
You got to have a sweater. Like, Southern California mornings are the best. Hoodie, shorts, beanie.
Why not? Long pants and a short shirt. You're a hoodie shorts guy?
Long pants.
Says a lot about you. I feel like when it's like the awkward in between, you can either go long shirt, short pants, or long pants, short shirt.
Well, if you're active,
I will
your legs
always opt for leggings, t-shirt over long sleeve shorts every time.
Yeah, keep the core warm. Start with the core. Everything else stays warm.
Interesting.
It's like your financial plan.
Have you been running in this frigid weather?
I'm still rehabbing, so I'm inside.
Oh, yeah.
On the treadmill.
Sorry to bring that up.
Yeah. Sore point. Get it.
Anyway.
Anyhow, we do have a question today.
Yeah. But before that, let's get to our housekeeping. I feel like I always
Go
skip right over those.
Keep house.
This episode and all episodes brought to you by Jewel Financial. Check us out if you have a unique situation and would like some financial planning and advice. Happy to always collab on that. Check us out on the web at jewelfinancial.com, and keep those questions coming, especially juniors right now. If you have a junior question, we're getting dry on the juniors. Record it, send it to podcast@diymoney.org. Try to keep it about a minute or less, and we will check this out. And today, our question is from Anne Marie. Anne Marie, what do you got? DIY!
Hi, my name is Anne Marie, and I live in New Jersey. I have a question regarding retirement and different things to consider and take into account due to the 12 and a half year age gap between my husband and myself. I am older. I am 47 years old and he is 35. And I've recently started to do some research on different things that we would have to consider when it comes to our retirement plans. Can you please let me know your thoughts on what we would need to take into account due to the age gap as it pertains to retirement? I would love to retire at the age of 60 and would love to see my husband retire by the age of 55, but not sure if that'll be possible financially. Thanks in advance. Love your show.
Anne Marie, great question. We were talking off air very briefly, but I feel like this is a very in-depth and challenging question, and one that we could probably spend like a month hashing out with all the different strategies and what goes into them. So for the sake of keeping this to less than 3 hours long, I'll kind of overview a few different things you should probably be looking at. But in general, I would say if you're in a situation where you have a really large age gap, that's probably a situation that's unique enough and complicated enough that you should be seeking a second opinion from a professional, because there's a lot more that goes into this than just, well, let's make sure that you have 12 extra years of money. And there's a lot of things that you can do while you're both still alive and still working to set yourself up well for the, if your spouse were to die a lot sooner than you do. So a few of the things that I would probably immediately look at with clients in this situation would be, one, Roth conversions is probably the first place my head went to. Because, and we talk about Roth conversions a lot, the purpose is to pay tax on funds kind of strategically over time before the government makes you start taking them out when you hit required minimum distributions inside of your IRA account. The purpose of doing that kind of strategically now would be, once your spouse passes, the IRA that's inherited then is not treated with the same inherited IRA rules as usual. So typically, when you inherit an IRA, so you inherit a retirement account, you have 10 years to take out those funds. And as the rules are written now, you can do it however you would like. But when you take it out, that is taxed as ordinary income. So if you inherit in an IRA and you're still working, you're going to pay tax on the funds as you take it out of the inherited account on top of whatever your tax bracket is then. So I say that to say a spousal IRA is different in that it's treated as if those were your own funds. So the end result is, if one of the spouses passes, puts that inherited IRA into the spouse's name, now your required minimum distributions are going to be a lot higher than they would have been if you were both still alive, because now you're in the single tax bracket instead of being in a married filing joint tax bracket. So there's a lot of strategy to that, and having that extra 10 years or so to strategically time that will help you a ton in those last few years where you're now taking out a ton of money from retirement accounts, may not even need it for your own personal expenses, and are paying really high income tax on it. The other one that I kind of want to deep dive into a little bit, and Daniel, you know a lot more about this than I do, so feel free to jump in. Yeah, is the Social Security aspect. So there are a ton of different rules, and to be candid, rules I'm still learning about Social Security and how you're guaranteed one half of your spouse's Social Security. So a lot of people don't know that, how Social Security changes based on when you file, all of those things. And so I think having that age gap makes the decision of when to draw Social Security for you and when to draw Social Security for your spouse so much more strategic, where you're setting up an even longer income stream long term.
Yeah, it's not only when to file, but also if one of you is retiring, what would be called early retirement, which is pre the IRS retirement age, we'll call it 60, right? So if one of you is retiring at 55 and one of you is retiring at 60, one of you is significantly older than the other, you're really going to have to work with somebody that will run all that math and show you some illustrations on who should file for Social Security when and what makes sense and what increases the probability or the asset value in your plans, things like that. So yeah, there's going to be a lot to consider on that one.
What else am I missing? What are the main ones that you feel like everyone should look at that maybe aren't specific to an age gap plan?
So, Daniel, what do you think we should do?
As a planner, these are actually really fun plans to work with folks on because you're introducing a lot of variables that are very unique to a person's scenario based upon the actual age gap, the actual goals being the retirement ages that we want to work towards, in this case, 60 and 55, the assets that are available, or other resources like pensions, et cetera. And so this is definitely one that you're going to want to talk to somebody, get an opinion, have an illustration, and then run a few different options with regards to that. Health coverage you have here in the notes, that's definitely something that we're going to want to look at. I think emotionally, so this is not quantitative, this is qualitative. Emotionally, understanding the impact it's going to be if one of you is retiring significantly earlier than the other, meaning that one of you no longer has to go to work, is kind of in the retirement ages, you know, is not waking up to go to a job every day. And that's kind of the norm that you're used to, though. Like, you both used to get up, you both used to work. Now one of you is retired and the other one is just kind of continuing in their role. There's times that we've seen that be an emotional stressor rather than just a financial stressor on folks, because at first everybody's good with that, but eventually the person who's still working kind of starts to feel like, I'm missing out on like retirement with this person who I really love and enjoy life with, and they're kind of in their prime retirement years. By the time I'll actually retire, they're going to be older and stuff like that. So it's just something to really kind of think through what that's going to look like for you all. People have various different experiences with that, but just be cognizant that that is a potential sort of speed bump in your sort of plan. That's not something that will be in the illustrations or the numbers. We typically look at what's the life insurance situation. Because one of you is statistically going to significantly outlive the other. So thinking about it this way, in a typical, let's say you guys were both the same age, you guys both retire with a 30-year retirement time horizon from, say, age 62 to 92, something like that. We're typically planning for 25 to 30 years with most plans. When you're talking about a big age gap, we're actually now planning for one of those people. In this case, if they're retiring at 55 and we're looking at, say, we'll just use round numbers, 85 or 95 time horizon. We're talking 30 to 40 year planning horizon. And that becomes actually statistically and numerically just a bit more complicated. And I think that's why Anne-Marie said we're not sure if 60s and 55 will be possible based upon sort of what we have. But you are going to have to, this is not going to be the type of plan situation where you can totally DIY it. Not to like pump our own product, right? But like, you can't go use the calculator at your favorite sort of financial website, run some basic numbers. This has enough nuance. You have to be working with somebody. So whether you're working with somebody like us or somebody there locally with you, you're going to have to sit down with a financial planner and sketch these out, because not only do you have variables now, but there's going to be moving parts as you approach that timeline. So you want to get a lot of clarity on what should you be saving right now. What elements do you need to be thinking about ahead of time? Some rough ideas of how your Social Security is going to work out, how insurance needs to be set up. And there's just going to be layers of that that you can start planning now if you have that goal. But if you don't start planning now, you're going to lose a lot of opportunity in the long run. And one of you, just based on the numbers, is going to get there a lot sooner than the other.
Yeah, you brought up a really good point that I think we don't touch on a lot. But as you're looking for a financial planner, there's obviously quantitative things that you're going to get assistance with. This is kind of that financial calculator that you were talking about on a website or something. A lot of times, some of these questions, if you spend enough time digging, you can DIY a little bit. You know, should I file for Social Security now or at this point? You can run the math and come up with that answer. A good financial planner brings value in what you were talking about, where it's not just talking about things quantitatively, but kind of helping almost in counseling a little bit at times to guide those discussions also qualitatively to understand, okay, what are the values at play here? How important is it for you all to both retire at the same time? Or does it make more sense for you all to try to, you know, stagger your retirement? And what does that look like from a day-to-day life perspective? And then also looking at some of the other things that may not be quite as easy to quantifiably run in a plan. So understanding some of how the estate might want to be run through. I could see situations where if one spouse predeceases the other, if there were other kids outside of that marriage, maybe they want some of their funds to go to the kids, even the spouse is still alive. Some of those things that if you're working and trying to DIY this plan, you may not think to have those conversations or maybe even know how to start thinking through some of those kind of qualitative factors as well that go into the plan.
Yeah, I love some of the qualitative side of the planning that we do. We've had some really powerful, and you've you've started to be a part of them as well, mm-hmm. As you've sort of on-ramped into our sort of planning area, but some really powerful goal planning meetings with folks, which I actually think some folks get taken off guard with them because they think planning is just going to be like spreadsheets and numbers.
Right. Like, what's it to you? Why do you care?
And we actually do some really fun. So we actually do all of that quantitative, the spreadsheets, the numbers, all that. We do it behind the scenes. We do it with you. We sort of run through all the graphs and all that. But then we have some really powerful qualitative discussions. I mean, we've done 90-minute to 2-hour meetings where literally the entire time we're talking qualitative. What are your goals? Who are you as a person? What's your money story? How does that align with your spouse and your family? And what is it that you guys are really wanting to achieve out of your financial plan? And how do we make sure that the numbers are going to support that and that we're not just giving you sort of off-the-shelf financial advice? And we've seen people light up in those conversations. We've seen people really wrestle with their goals and objectives and sort of competing priorities and really just kind of open up. And that's really fun when we get to do that type of work. But I'm not sure that that happens everywhere. But I know that we really try to prioritize that, especially in circumstances like this, where there's multiple layers to a plan. That's just really fun stuff to get into.
Voice of an angel.
I swear to God, he must drink a lot of tea.
Yeah, fun and important. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. Well, we will wrap it up there. And we appreciate you sending in a question. Anne Marie, we will be having a $25 Amazon gift card coming at you soon. So keep an eye out for that. Friends, the secret to wealth is very simple. It's to live on less than you make and invest the rest, and to do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.